about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Yep, 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 yep. Is this thing on? Yo, yeah, yeah, yeah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
Bjorn Lurpis of the Pawnee Lurpis family. There was supposed to be a paunch burger in this lot next to my house, and then you strip my freedom by putting a park there. Now if I want to start my day off with a triple-decker pancake breakfast pizza, I gotta go to the one that's 10 minutes away, and that makes me 20 minutes late to work every day. I work at home.
Have you ever considered not eating that for breakfast?
I'll never consider that.
And now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, Yep, uh-huh. Check, 1-2.
Our feature presentation.
That guy's a professional right there.
So good.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 18th of March. Tell you about today's show in just a second. I want to start, though, with this story of Jose Espinoza. He apparently was running from the cops because he stole a car. And he went to his house, and then he left and went someplace else. So the cops were like, well, this is his house, so we're just going to wait here for him. So Jose goes and he gets a can of spray paint, black spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
And he spray paints his face black because he thinks the police will go, oh, that's a black dude. This isn't the guy we're looking for.
Not Jose.
This is in Madera, California. So he returns home and the police knock on the door. And this is the funny part. And this is why I love drugs. Got to be honest. He's blackface. He goes out in the back and tries to blend in with the wall, the fence, which is white.
Oh.
So now he's standing there going, if I don't move, they won't know I'm here.
Because if the fence was black, that would have been a really good move.
Maybe.
No.
I mean, he only spray painted his face, so... Yeah, he may not have thought this through. The police noted, quote, the camouflage was ineffective.
Is that in the report?
It is. Yeah, that's what they put. And then they found a can of spray paint, and he's charged with receiving known stolen property and theft and unlawful taking of and driving a vehicle. I didn't know those were two different things, but they are. And he was fined $35,000. So
that can't be good. Just skin-wise, I'm thinking... Maybe toxic.
Yeah.
Nice job, dumbass.
Yeah. Yep. That's not smart at all, maybe.
No.
But maybe he didn't think that through.
Lesson learned.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yep.
RJ Bell. He's in Las Vegas. He's the guy that gives us all the tips on how to bet on the NFL. And he's... Now, can I say it now? Or
I don't understand how it
There's
works.
A lot of rules. Somehow, if you're a sponsor with the NCAA... And March Madness. I think I can say this in this context. If you're a sponsor, you can say that all you want. If you're not a sponsor, in the promotional items, we got this long list of things that we mm-hmm. can't say. So, like, we can't say he's talking about it. When we talk to him, we can say it. You know, we can say the names of the teams and the tournament and everything else. But leading up to it, we can't say those words.
To promote the segment, we can't
right.
say he's coming on to talk about the NCAA.
Correct.
Okay. That makes
right.
Sense-ish.
So there's a college game that involves round balls, and it happens. And there's a huge, I think I can say, tournament coming up later this month.
Okay.
Maybe even today. And we're going to talk to him about it and how to make some dough. We have some tickets for Get Hard. Very excited about that. We are going to talk about Starbucks. I don't know if you've seen this Race Together program that they have.
Insane.
Yeah. They're writing Race Together on the coffee cups, and they hope it starts a dialogue. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this could be the worst idea that's ever existed.
It's the worst idea that ever existed.
We're going to debut a new feature, and I gotta be honest, new features on our program, they run about, I'd say 20% successful.
Yeah.
We try something, mm-hmm. and most of the time it fails. Every once in a while something works. We're going to try something today called I Feel Good. It's a new feature. We have James Vanderbeek in the program. James Vanderbeek is going to be in studio talking about CSI Cyber. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54. see Ralph Garman on the streets, go ahead and wave him in. Let him know. Come on in, Ralph, at any point. Let's talk showbiz. We could fill in for the moment. David Arquette is in the news. I don't know if you saw this story, but Justin Bieber had that huge 21st birthday party.
Yeah, in Vegas,
In Vegas. And apparently David Arquette was there. He was in the birthday party, the suite or whatever they were having it. And he was talking S about Justin Bieber.
In his own birthday suite.
Yes.
Huh.
And so Justin Bieber had him thrown out. Now, this is the weird part. David Arquette then snuck back in. Why?
What?
I don't know why he even wants to be there. This is according to New York Post Page 6. Snuck back in and bum-rushed him. Literally just ran at Bieber and tried to fight him.
This doesn't make much sense.
Well,
I think maybe
add alcohol.
Yeah, a ton of alcohol, because it would take a ton of alcohol to want to be around Justin Bieber.
Right, exactly.
So,
like, I don't even know why he would have been there in the first place.
Uh-uh.
But after they threw him out and then he got back in, he did, it says, according to the article, he bum-rushed him, which I love.
Yeah.
I think that should be a thing.
There's got to be video of that, right?
I would hope so. But nobody's talking. Neither of them are talking. Neither of the people are talking. So it's going to have to come down to, like, a friend or a associate that was there with a cell phone or whatever. But we would like to see that.
I'll wait for it.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. Tadoff Switler. Apparently, you know how it's about every day she's hooked up with somebody else, or at least
supposedly
people think that she's hooking up with somebody else. She went, according to the UK's Daily Mail, she headed to Las Vegas so that she could spend the weekend with
David Arquette,
Calvin Harris.
Huh.
Now, I'm guessing Calvin Harris does pretty well with the ladies.
You would think.
And I'm guessing he doesn't need Taylor Swift's nonsense.
Well, wasn't her best friend Selena seeing another DJ? So maybe that's kind of the thing now.
Maybe, sure.
And she had that thing with Diplo. They weren't friends, but are they? I think this is all leading up to a big EDM Taylor record.
Oh, no, really? Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, no. That would be a disaster.
It would be the worst, best thing ever.
DJ Pauly D, ring a bell?
Jersey Shore.
Apparently, still has a ton of dough. How? I don't have any idea, but sources at TMZ said that he dropped $450,000 on a Lamborghini.
Oh, come on.
Pauly D. $450,000.
Wow.
And then he bought a miniature one for his little daughter.
That is delightful.
That's delightful. But the idea that he has $450,000 to put on a car.
They made a lot of money off that show. And then he was a resident DJ, I think, at the Palms or something in Vegas. It all goes back to Vegas.
Everything revolves around Vegas. That's
yes.
true. Vegas is where life happens. But anyway, that's
a great tagline. Vegas, if you're listening. Kevin just dropped your next promo. Vegas. It's where everything happens.
Yeah. I don't know that Vegas as a whole is listening.
No, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to
know.
Yeah,
that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity birthdays today. We have actress Vanessa Williams, who is 52. Actress Queen Latifah is 45 years old. Comedian.
No!
Comedian, question mark, Dane Cook is 43. Adam Levine is 36. And actress Lily Collins is 26. And that's the showbiz. James Vanderbeek in the studio a little bit later on today talking about CSI Cyber. And we also have our opening act contest for April Foolishness, and that ends Friday at 10. So you can send in 2 minutes of you being funny, and you might be the opening act for April Foolishness. Yesterday, Allie, you tweeted what? Where did you see this?
Well, I saw it on Gawker, and I had heard the story from you, but the title, am I allowed to read the title?
Just change the word to the P word.
The title is Jimmy Kimmel says it took 2 surgeries to fix his messed up penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a thing that happened. And it's funny because in the mid-90s when Jimmy was working with us, he was Jimmy the sports guy, and this happened, and we did it on the air. We went to Dr. Drew. He looked at it. He did what he needed to do. So I thought, you know, this past weekend I was in Austin at South by Southwest to do a Jimmy Kimmel panel. And it was just Jimmy and I. So they wanted some talk of the old days. So, of course, pee hole came up. So because, well, I guess we can say it because it's technical. It closed.
The part where things come out.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Closed. And we went to Dr. Drew. Oh. So in the 90s, I went along with him. I took a tape recorder. We interviewed Dr. Drew. We interviewed Jimmy. And the whole thing was great. We put it on the air, and no one cared what we did in the 90s.
Right.
But this was before Jimmy Kimmel Live. This is when he was Jimmy the sports guy. Now he's become Jimmy Kimmel Live. So I brought it up on Saturday. And I was trying just to make a little joke about it. I was like, I remember you had that issue with this area, and I was sort of pointing to my groin. I was trying to be, like, funny, but not too. And Jimmy just blurted it out. Yeah, my pee hole closed.
This is during the South by Southwest panel.
Yes. Oh. Maybe 2,000 people in the room, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed. I was like, funny. I didn't know you were going to just come out and say it, or I would have. But okay. So we talked about it for a little bit. And it was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened. And then you saw the story on, was it Gawker?
Gawker. Because they linked a story to E! Entertainment.
E! Entertainment.
What?
E! Entertainment. I don't know if they were in the room or if they heard about it.
Yeah.
And now, again, to me, this is just the old days. And it was funny as hell and wacky. But it was 15, maybe 20 years ago. So they heard about it. So then the guy from E! News interviewed Jimmy about the issue. And here's a little bit of that audio.
I heard during your panel yesterday, what's up with the hole in your penis?
That's a great question, by the way.
I lead with that.
To start every interview.
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Everyone has a hole in their penis, right?
Yeah, but I heard yours got closed up, which is really makes my knees really weak because it's disgusting. But what happened to the hole in your penis? I just want to keep saying hole in your penis.
It just kind of closed up on its own. I don't know why it happened. I still don't know why.
I got to tell you, it was so awesome when he came in and told us. Because Jimmy's the type of guy who will just say that. He'll just come in and go, hey, by the way, this is happening. And I just remember how unbelievably, A, happy that made me because it was one of the funniest things I ever heard. But, B, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah. And I think this article has freaked out any man that read it because
yes.
The comments are like, now I have something to worry about that I didn't even think.
Who knew this was even an option that your body could actually do this?
He had to be in a lot of pain, right?
Well, I mean, apparently he was. And I remember going to Dr. Drew. And I also remember Jimmy was supposed to change into the gown. So Dr. Drew pulled the curtain. And Jimmy thought it would be funny, as only Jimmy does, to just take off all his clothes and not put on the robe. He's like,
Okay, I'm ready.
Dr. Drew opened the curtain. I was like, come on! But anyway, so Dr. Drew treats the pee hole disaster.
Just open one day?
No, I had to have an op. Well, listen, I
can. You had to have an operation on a hole in your penis?
Twice.
Oh.
Oh, I want to kind of vomit.
Well, you brought it up.
You did at the panel yesterday.
But that was at a panel. That's in front
Were
of a
Were you diagnosed
of,
with something?
Technically, what?
Were you diagnosed with, like, colitis? What is it?
I was diagnosed with, I don't know, the guy said you're a hole, the urethra's closing up, and we need to operate on it, and they did, and then they said, yeah, we didn't really get it. It didn't quite work. We have to do it again.
He had to do it twice.
That's just Dr. Drew messing with
us. You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll fix it. And then
gotta come back.
Gotta come
didn't
back.
Didn't get it.
And they did it again.
And now Jimmy has the biggest hole in his penis.
Thank you. I'm a real pee hole.
That took a turn.
That's E! Entertainment. Did that story after they heard him tell the story at the panel. So.
You penis. Did that.
Well, whoa. I mean, I didn't do it. I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was funny, and it was an old story, so I didn't think there was any news to it. But then he heard it, you know, and now that he's got his show and everything, now everybody's obsessed with it. And my point is that I'm still shocked that that's physically possible.
Twice.
He had surgery to fix it, and then it kept happening. Every guy right now is going, oh, my God, that's a thing I need to worry about. And you can thank Jimmy Kimmel. Time for a brand new internet roundup.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world. It is time for the internet roundup. So tell all the boys and girls. We've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the
put these up about once a week, and we try to gather them all in one place. It's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Dave, the King of Mexico,
hello,
is in the studio with us. He's the one that puts it together. Avengers Age of Ultron is awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. But the trailer was revoiced all by little cute kids. So they use all of the footage and all of the explosions and all of the production value. And then, you know, when Robert Downey Jr. speaks, it's a tiny little kid's
little voiceover. Yeah.
It's super cute.
I tried to create a suit of armor around the world, but I created something terrible. Artificial intelligence.
It's awesome.
And then the action scene. Yeah, and the action scenes, you hear him go, pew, pew, pew.
Kids are making sound effects with their mouths. It's awesome. Howie Mandel has a pretty nice house.
Yeah. It's
pretty
small.
Nice house. Yeah. Who was it that played this prank on?
He's a prankster named Roman Atwood. He's big on YouTube.
He pulled up to his house, Robert Downey Jr., but Howie Mandel, whose son was in on it and his
wife
was in on it.
Yeah.
Pulled in a giant, like, moving truck full of toilet paper. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen this much. And they covered the entire front of his house. And it's a mansion. And then Howie Mandel comes home from the airport, is a little bit surprised.
Why do you want to take a picture? It's not funny.
Do you have a camera?
You think it's funny? Oh, my God. Kidding me?
What's weird is he's such a germaphobe. I'm so glad he was. I mean, I bet he was glad that it was all toilet paper because it's clean. You know?
Yeah. Well.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like it got like, you know, mud or anything on the walls.
No, it was clean.
Yeah, it was clean. So he was fine with it.
But if you go to and see the video, you can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine how long it would take to clean it.
That's
up.
That's a lot of toilet paper,
Dave. You would have to get your maid to go there.
Right?
Clean it up.
Cost me a lot.
All right, Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda
is the man. You do not say anything bad about him.
Tommy Lasorda is the man.
Okay, good.
TMZ put up, I think they put up a video a while back of him falling asleep at a burlesque show, and I was like, leave Tommy alone.
Yeah. He is tired.
He's real. He's done his part.
Yes.
Well, Tommy Lasorda is doing sort of covering Turn Down for What? Sort
he's
of.
Dancing to it.
He's dancing, and he's saying something that's close to that.
Turn Down for What?
It's disturbing.
You can see a little hip action. He's getting down, man.
Turn down for what? Is this the first time we've ever posted an Instagram? Is that what this is?
This is one of the first times, yeah.
Who took it?
He did. It's
his
own personal Instagram, yeah.
Good time.
Him doing Turn Down for What is one of the weirdest things you'll ever
get
see.
Get down.
10 reasons to actually fire Beer Mug. Who's this guy and why did he put
this
up?
Just a guy named Topher Harless.
And he put this up
props to you, sir.
On YouTube, and gives 10 reasons why. Here are a few.
Number 5. Again, he's got a smell. I just assume it's a mixture of what? Rotten hot dogs and failed dreams? Number 6. He hung up on Bono. Besides getting fired, this should be punishable by death. It's kind of like hanging up on Paul McCartney. Kevin.
Yeah, that happened. He was done with this conversation, by the way. I just thought I'd put that out there. Famous rap battles. This is awesome. This is Cinderella, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Belle, played by Whitney Avalon.
Yeah.
And they rap back and forth.
Beauty and the bestiality. Of course you're bitter. I'm the number one star. Pumpkin carriage, perfect marriage. No one cares who you are.
What's my name?
Belle.
What's it mean?
Beauty.
I'm the perfect combination of brains and booty. While I'm gaining knowledge, you're losing your pumps. Like Mrs. Possum serving shots and dishing out lumps.
I gotta tell you, this is really well done.
Yeah, this isn't the normal epic rap battle, guys. This is just another series of just princesses battling
it's
it out.
It's the princess battle series?
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah.
Waiting for this.
Yeah. So, hey, but they do a good job with it, and Buffy can rap.
That's a really, that's really well done.
Yeah.
Honest Trailers takes on Leprechaun, because of course, because of St. Patrick's Day.
Watch as they team up to defeat evil the only way they know how. Spending 90 minutes beating the out of respected English actor Warwick Davis.
Hey, leave Willow alone.
It's
pretty funny.
Those guys can make any movie look terrible. You can love it, and then they'll do the sawdust trailers.
And make terrible movies look even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible. We also have sound advice. This is Slater Kinney, and Vanessa Bayer is interviewing them. And she's playing a character. Have you seen this character before?
I have not seen this
character.
She's
like
it's just
totally clueless interviewer.
I know that character.
Yeah. How dare you? You're looking at me.
No,
dare you?
Now, did you all meet because you were all in low-budget TV shows that I've never seen?
Corinne and I met in college. That's when we started this band.
And so, was one of the original members Susan B. Anthony?
I think she was deceased by then.
And that is sad for all women. But we carry her message. Be a girl. Get dressed up. Look pretty.
That's one of the funniest things.
That was Susan B. Anthony's message.
No, I don't think so.
Not at all. No. She's wrong on every level.
Yeah. I love that band.
Turns out to be really funny. Office Space with Michael Bolton. There's a guy in Office Space, the movie Office Space, and his name is Michael Bolton, and they made a big deal out of the fact that his name is Michael Bolton, and what about the singer? In this particular instance, I believe it was Funny or Die?
It was Funny or Die, yeah.
They used Michael Bolton. They put him into the movie Office Space.
Well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that name.
There was nothing wrong with that until I was about 12 years old, and that extremely talented ass clown started winning all those Grammys.
Why don't you just go by Mike instead of Michael?
No way. Why should I change? He's the one who sucks.
Pretty funny. Michael Bolton's
Michael
got a pretty sense of humor.
Come on.
Wake up to eggs and bacon. Ralph asked us yesterday.
Geez. John Hamm.
Who the spokesperson would be for eggs, and it turns out to be Kevin Bacon. And then this is online, and you can see it at krock.com right now, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. Wake up to eggs with bacon, and Kevin Bacon is laying on the kitchen counter, and a woman is talking to him about eggs, and then the woman's husband walks in.
Then it's on.
It's bacon.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that with my name.
Sorry.
You know, I love the smell of eggs in the morning.
And I love the smell of bacon.
Hey, what time's therapy tonight?
Oh, shouldn't you be at work, sweetie?
Oh, so I can bring home that bacon.
Stop.
Kevin Bacon doesn't like puns.
You and Kevin Bacon have something in common.
That's right. Puns suck. It couldn't be more right. Zombievers, we had the director on Monday, and it comes out Friday. In some theaters, it's also on iTunes and video on demand. This is Stephen Merchant, who's interviewing two of the people that are in the movie, Bill Burr and John Mayer.
Sharknado's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Okay, sharks in a tornado, like, it's an absurd movie.
Look, this is all fine and good, but I think you're missing the point, is that the second syllable of zombie is also the first syllable of beavers. Do you see what I mean? Sharknado.
The thought behind it is what he's
Sharknado
saying.
Is just removing the first syllable of tornado and putting a shark there. It doesn't even flow.
It's lazy.
They're being a little snobby.
Oh, Bill Burr for everything is all
awesome.
I have to say.
Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart have the movie Get Hard, which looks awesome. And they put together a demo reel of what it would have been like had Will Ferrell gone out for Kevin Hart roles and Kevin Hart gone out for Will Ferrell roles.
Black Hammer, what's that about?
It's about when I pull my out and it hits the ground. Boom!
And here's what my looks like.
You know, actually, for the audition, we don't need that at all. Thank you, though.
Okay. Happy to show it.
I got many leather-bound books and my apartment smells like rich magamony. Monogamy. It smells like rich wood. Can we just agree that that's wood?
Mahogany's a hard word.
I agree,
Kevin.
Those guys are awesome. Jimmy Kimmel did this on Monday Night Show from Austin, Texas. It's Jimmy Kimmel and Matthew McConaughey, and they're making a local TV commercial for a place called Vulcan Video that rents and or sells videos. These two people making three different commercials for them.
Others might say we are bygones of technology past, which we would call
hopelessly out of touch.
Retro and vintage. Take me, for instance. I live in Round Rock, 32 miles north of Austin, where this place is. Peak traffic time takes me 1.62 hours to get here. I don't mind. Number one, I like to drive. Number two, I like to talk to myself when I drive.
Pretty strong. That's a pretty good series of commercials.
Can you imagine if you're a local just VHS, your little movie rental place that rents VHS.
They still have VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
and Matthew McConaughey and Jimmy Kimmel are doing your commercials.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And finally, Lie Witness News. I love it when they do this. Jimmy Kimmel again in Austin. They go out and the music festival is coming up, I think, this week, today, tomorrow?
Yeah, it's this weekend.
And a lot of bands are there and a lot of bands people haven't heard of. So what they do is make up names of bands and then they go ask people and people just can't say, I don't know, I've not heard of them. So they call it Lie Witness News.
What do you think of Wiz Khalifa's little brother? Cheese Wiz Khalifa. Do you love his sound?
Yeah, he has a good sound. I definitely like it.
What do you love about Eddie and his man purse?
Well, man purse is, that's the band and Eddie is the lead singer, so.
Can you describe their sound?
It's kind of like a.
It's totally making up a sound.
But if you could make up any name that might actually be a band, I think South by Southwest is where that band might actually
exist.
Yeah,
well, agreed.
Yeah.
But they don't in this particular case, and everybody still knows everything about them.
Like Jimmy Kimmel's Pee Hole.
Exactly.
Amazing band.
Go
not
to,
an opener, though.
Go, no. Go to krock.com or Kevin and Bean for a brand new internet.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the internet around us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. We have RJ Bell coming up just after the top of the hour on how to gamble on the big thing that's going on with the basketball.
That you can't say.
That we can't say. But I think we can say it when we talk to him. So that's, I don't know. It's very confusing and it's all lawyery. But we'll get to that. Right now, Allie McKay is in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Bee. What's going on?
I want to give something away.
Okay.
Yeah. Kids, okay. You're going to be excited. And by kids, Chip and listeners, a pair of tickets to see The Offspring, either July 30th at the Pacific Amphitheater or July 31st at the Palladium. Tickets for both shows go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. You have your choice, Pacific Amphitheater or the Palladium. We are going to take caller 15 at 1-800-520-1067. Call in now. Caller 15 is going to see The Offspring.
They put on a good show.
They do put on a good show. Do you want some furniture? Maybe some paintings? A bike?
Do I want furniture? No.
No?
No.
You're not in the...
Why would you bring that up?
I've seen your house.
A bike?
Maybe you need a bike.
I don't...
New couch.
Think so.
What if it belonged to Oprah?
Well, God, no.
Okay. Then definitely no? All right. Well, maybe someone out there is interested. She's having basically the biggest garage sale ever. It's actually an auction, but it's going to be all of the art from her Chicago apartment, and fans can bid on 500 different pieces beginning April 25th. But this is for everybody. Things from $100 to $100,000. Even, like I said, a bike.
Why does she do this?
She needs money.
She doesn't.
Yeah, she's, I don't know if you know, she's not working as much now. So
right, but
falling
she's
on hard times.
She owned that. She's one of the richest women in the world.
We can always be richer.
All right.
And really, who doesn't want Oprah's bike?
Well, Oprah's bike probably has seen better days. Let's be honest.
Okay.
It's not in great shape.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's worn out.
Or never been used.
Or
we don't
possibly
know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe the other way.
How dare you,
but
Kevin.
If it's been used, it's worn out.
Goodness gracious. Ashley Judd, speaking of the tournament of bouncy balls that's coming up.
Yes.
That we can't say the name of.
Mm-hmm.
You know that she is a diehard University of Kentucky fan.
Did not know that.
She went there. Oh, yeah. She's okay. Always in the stands. They take shots of her. She's always real happy to be there. Well, she tweeted out, I think Arkansas is playing dirty. Over the weekend during a game. As you can imagine, Arkansas fans and people that just hate in general.
Right.
Not happy. Death threats.
What was...
calling her the C word. Threats of sexual violence.
This seems to happen with anybody that says
anything
that
about
people don't like.
Anything.
Yeah.
But sports in general, things can get pretty, pretty gross.
What
but,
did she mean by that? What did she? Do you know what she meant by playing dirty?
Probably some fouls that weren't called, that type of thing.
Right.
But, yeah, so she tweeted that. All of these threatening sexual violence tweets ensued. She went on NBC News and says she plans to press charges.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good time. So you've got that to look forward to over the weekend or over the next couple weeks. If you want to tweet something about, God forbid, the big tournament coming up.
Yeah, don't
up,
do that.
Don't.
Just don't.
At
keep that
all.
To yourself.
Megan Fox is a mom. This we know. She has told Parents Magazine that she lets her little guys watch movies, but no television. Why? Because she doesn't want to inundate them with commercials, so she just lets them watch Apple TV. Which in turn is a commercial for Apple TV, which I appreciate right there. God bless her. Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that are gay men that came out and said over the weekend that...
I'm sorry, can I interrupt?
That came out over the weekend?
No.
Is that it?
No. No. Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said, who's Frank?
Did I
yes,
really?
I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking
Frank.
About Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him. His name is Ralph.
To be fair, he called me the wrong name yesterday.
He did as well, but all right, continue.
Did I call him Frank?
You did just now, but oh, go
there
ahead.
There was an anchor at my old station named Frank.
Well.
Wow.
You called him Frank. You're going to have to deal with that.
Kind of amazing. I mean, if he ever gets here, I'll deal with it. But that's neither here nor there.
Back to the story. I'm sorry.
So yesterday, Ralph talked about Dolce & Gabbana. They had talked about in vitro fertilization, saying that they shouldn't have in vitro fertilization. They're essentially synthetic children.
Yeah.
Not good. So people have been saying we're going to boycott. Elton John said, I'm not buying anything else. Well, Ryan Murphy, producer of Glee, American Horror Story, he is joining that boycott, promising not to buy Dolce & Gabbana or use it in any of his productions. So there. Take that, Frank.
That's a really weird thing to come out and say. Like, don't you just out of self-preservation go, maybe I feel this way, but it's going to sound horrible to people?
You would think, especially as two gay men that have probably been through a lot.
Right, yes.
And been judged harshly for who they are, to come out and say, nope, stop adopting kids, gay couples, they're synthetic children. That's insane.
That's odd.
That is crazy. Speaking of odd, TMZ has reported Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes don't speak at all.
Well,
even about Suri.
He is a member of the Church of Scientology, and that is one of their beliefs.
That they're cut off once they leave the church type
yes.
of thing.
So
got it.
If she left the church, there's no talking
okay.
because that's the law of Scientology.
Well, according to sources, Katie isn't pleased with his interaction with Suri. He's been in London shooting Mission Impossible 5. He's been gone for months. No contact. And then this source says, we've been told there's a relationship between Katie Holmes and somebody that Tom isn't really pleased about.
Oh. And how does he have any say in that?
He doesn't, but who the person is made me go, huh?
Okay, so Katie. She has a relationship with?
Jamie Foxx.
Okay.
Right? Haven't heard about Jamie in a while.
All right.
All right, good times.
Do we have time to squeeze in a call real quick before?
Why not?
Before
is it
you
Frank?
Get to, before you get to the birthdays? Hey, Frank.
Frank, who the hell's Frank?
I don't know.
She called you Frank.
Yeah, I heard.
How's your drive going? Coming into work?
It's busy, but it's lighter out than I remember.
Is it? Daylight saving time.
Yeah,
that
must be.
Catches up with you.
Well, you got a new name when you come in, so try to work that in if you will.
All right, I'll be when I can, Louise. See ya.
Miss you, Frank. Good times. That really, I said Frank.
You did.
Very bizarre. Big ups to all the Franks out there. Celebrity birthdays. We have got Vanessa Williams. She is turning 52 today. Comedian, actor, Massachusetts Pats fan, Dane Cook, he's 43. Actress Lily Collins, 26, and Queen Latifah is 45. I am Allie McKay, in for Frank, with the Showbiz Beat.
We have RJ Bell, who we haven't talked to since the NFL. RJ Bell is in Las Vegas. Hi, RJ.
Hey, guys, big weekend coming up.
Big weekend. RJ, of course, is pregame.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. You had an amazing run for the NFL season, so we wanted to talk to you about March Madness. Now, there are times, leading up until right now, we can't say March Madness. We can't say NCAA. We can't say any of that stuff if it's in a promotional sense. Mm-hmm. So we can't say, like yesterday, we couldn't say tomorrow we're going to talk to RJ Bell about March Madness.
Right.
But right this second, we can because we're covering it sort of as a news story.
So get it out, Kevin. Say it as many
March
times
Madness, March Madness,
interview.
March Madness.
Excellent.
All right, RJ, tell us what happens in Vegas for March Madness.
It's an event, as much of an event as it is across the country, and it really has become that because it's reached the tipping point of being social. To me, that's always the key tipping point for a event to blow up when it comes to people with odds and risking money is, do you feel left out if you're not participating? And the reality is, with the office pools, with the online pools, with the various promotions, it is a situation where if you're not taking part, you guys have a bracket,
yep.
is my understanding. And I've gotten invited into that. I don't know if you know that or not.
I've not. That's bogus. And you're a ringer. You're a ringer.
I got to be honest. When I saw the email invite me and I did a double take, I'm not sure if this is disrespect or, but I'm gonna jump in with a smile.
No, you're not. No. I'm going to revoke your invitation.
No, listen, that would be a PR disaster.
I don't care. That's PR. That's BS.
but it really is social. And you know what drives it? It's those little numbers on the brackets beside the teams. Because you don't have to know anything Mm-mm. to know a one seed should be to 16 or two should be to 15. So the barrier of entry is so low. The amount of info you need to know is so low to participate. And it's fun for so many people. It's become something we estimate 100 million Americans participate
wow.
in bracket contests.
Now, is there any other sporting event where, in reality, those numbers and where they're ranked really doesn't make much of a difference? I mean, you could pick all the favorites. You'll lose.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Not to get too technical, but if me and you, let's say, were having a heads-up bracket tournament, one-on-one, I would be best by far just picking every favorite every time. So literally just whoever the better seed is, picking them all the way out and then just flipping a coin in the final four, which anyone could do. Obviously, it's mindless. But against any one person, that bracket is favored against any other person. The reason you can't do that is when you compete against, five people, 10 people or more, there's going to inevitably be some upsets. So you've got to have something better than that average bracket. But against any one person, that bracket would actually be favored, which is kind of an interesting concept. Because real quick, each of those games, when you pick the better seed, for the most part, they're supposed to win that game. So in the odds are better than 50% in each of those matchups.
Right, but I don't know of any head-to-head gambling that goes on with this. You're in a pool with thousands of people most of the time, right?
And you bring up a great point, and this is probably one of the best tips I can give your listeners, which is the more people you're competing against, the more upsets you need to pick. So let's say, for example, with the Kevin and Bean pool that I'm participating in.
That you're not participating in.
There's my understanding is there's like 8 or 9 people involved, including myself.
Well, we changed that, though. You're blocked.
But in that case, I'm going to actually have a lot of favorites and less upsets. Now, if I'm going online and competing against thousands, I'm going to have many more upsets. So you've got to have more upsets the more people you're competing against.
All right. Let's talk about Kentucky. Are they as good as everybody says? Because people are saying things like, I would take Kentucky, Dave the King of Mexico said, I would take Kentucky versus the field. I will bet that Kentucky will win the Final Four championship, and you can have everybody else. Are they that good?
That is a fair and fun prop bet right now, Kentucky or the field. Now, what's happened is if you would have asked me on Monday, I would have said it's pretty much even money, Kentucky or the field, based upon the Vegas odds. Now, though, it actually Kentucky is about plus 120, so 100 wins you 120. The field's minus 140, so 140 to win 100. So right now, the movement in the odds is saying Kentucky has a slightly less than 50% chance against the field, but really it's still pretty close.
The thing that I love about this tournament, though, is that you only play a team once, and really, and it's not just a cliche, any team can lose you know, if you're Kentucky, everybody else plays their best game. They right. know they're scared of you. They know how good you are. So they step it up and play their best game. It wouldn't be that surprising to see them lose or any other team.
First round, Kentucky out.
Be pretty okay. awesome.
Oh, that'd be pretty best awesome. Ever.
We do have history with the ones. This is we've got 30 years of history with a 64 team tournament. So that really gives us some mathematical direction. But as most people know, no 16 has ever beaten a number one. You can actually bet that will 16 win this year. 9-1 payoff if any of them does. Kentucky. All the way up to the Final Four, so there's four rounds prior to the Final Four.
Right.
Expected to be favored by double digits in every one of those games, like 30 points or so in the first round. Then here's what's interesting. If they end up meeting Wisconsin, the team we believe would be the closest game for them, they'd be favored by 5.5 points or so in that game. And then whoever they play in the finals, maybe 6 or 7 points, unless it was a real underdog or Cinderella that made it. So, yeah, they're the favorite. But to win two games in a row, even once they get to the Final Four, favored by 5.5 and let's say favored by 6, that's something that's far from a sure thing. So I think the 50-50 odds or so Kentucky or the field is correct.
Talking March Madness with RJ Bell from Las Vegas. The number one seeds are Kentucky, Villanova, Duke, and Wisconsin. You're saying Wisconsin you think has the best chance at knocking off Kentucky?
Yes, just head-to-head match. Not so much. If you look at the tournament odds, after Kentucky, Wisconsin and Arizona are 8-1. Arizona's a 2 seed. Then you've got Duke, another number one at 9-1. Villanova, the final number one at 10-1. What's interesting is that 2 seed Arizona being the second favorite. And then you look at another 2 seed like a Kansas. So Kansas is also 2 seed, 60-1. So, nice. Man, think about that. You've got a 2 seed Arizona 8-1, a 2 seed Kansas is 60-1. Talk about a statement of Las Vegas saying, hey, committee, you get all the attention, but we really do not respect your opinion, and we think the differences in these 2 seeds are drastic.
All right, let me ask you a question about a Cinderella team for a long time, which is Gonzaga. They might have a better team this year than ever.
Yeah, I've heard that conversation, and the coach has been doing some radio shows talking along those lines. If you look at the odds, and you know, with a West Coast interest here, Gonzaga 23-1. So there's 6 teams with better odds than them. But after them, you know, they're the 7th team. There's a big jump, and you've got Notre Dame or Iowa State 35-1, Notre Dame 45-1. So you've got a situation where Gonzaga is in that second tier behind Kentucky.
All right, so let's say that you're in a pool with thousands of people. You said you have to pick some upsets. How many? I mean, is there should we pick 5 upsets? Should we pick 10? I mean, assuming you're in a pool of thousands of people.
Okay, so this is the most important piece of advice I can
give.
Okay,
good.
You can be partners with Las Vegas in your bracket. Now, this sounds awesome, right?
What?
Yes, here's why. Every first round game has a point spread associated to it. So Vegas is telling you, and you don't have to pay anything, free partnership, who they think is going to win, who Vegas thinks is going to win. Let me give you 2 examples. Number 11 seed Texas is favored by 2 over the number 6 seed Butler. So the double-digit seed is actually, Vegas is saying, has a better than 50% chance to win. Another example, number 10 Ohio State, favored by 4 points over number 7 VCU. So that is a no-brainer. A vast majority of people filling out the brackets are going to say, hey, a 6 seed's better than an 11, a 7's better than a 10. I'm going to pick the better team. You know Vegas is saying that those better seeds, quote-unquote, actually have less than a 50% chance to win. So that's such a big edge. And all you got to do is go to any, you know, a site like pregame.com with the odds listed for free and take advantage of that. Now, when it comes to the bigger upsets, and history tells us a 13 or 14 seed wins in each individual game about 18% of the time, so 1 out of 5 times. So amongst those 8 matchups, because 13s and 14s have 8 combined games, if you're in with a lot of people, you might want to pick 2 of them, you know, like 25% or so, 2 of the 8 to upset. And how do you decide which one? Look at the odds. Some of them are going to be like 8-point underdogs. Some are going to be 14 or 15-point underdogs. Let Vegas tell you which games are inclined to be closer, and then you can pick amongst them with your upsets.
Bet with Vegas is what you're saying.
Bet and, you know, if you win, you don't even have to split your winnings.
That's pretty strong. Let me ask you about the 2 points that they were given, for example. In football, you know, you understand a field goal, you understand a touchdown. Is a 2-point advantage really an advantage?
Yes, because you're right. In any given game, you know, it's just like insurance companies. Most people rich in this country are thinking about decimal points and are thinking about math around the decimal points. And I think it was Superman 3 is all the half pennies, right? Well, that's how Vegas thinks. So imagine, you're right, if you had to pick them, right, it's who wins the game. But if you have a team that's +2, it's pretty much who wins the game. But then if your team loses by 1, you still win.
Yeah.
And if your team loses by 2, it's a push because if it ties, everyone gets their money back. And it's those two situations when your team loses by 1 or 2 that gaining those extra points are obviously meaningful. And that's the kind of distinction professional bettors really focus on where the amateurs tend to ignore.
All right. Do you have one Cinderella team for this tournament?
Yeah, I'm going to give you Michigan State.
I got them.
Michigan State.
All right, here's a team. It's a 7 seed, but they actually have pretty good odds. They're getting 75-1 to win the tournament, which for a 7 seed is really Vegas saying we like Michigan State. And here's one of the reasons. One of the best handicapping tips I can give on the individual teams is coaches with experience in the tournament, because the tournament is unlike any other event for these kids, for these teams. And if you have never been there as a coach, you're just kind of like a deer in the headlights. Tom Izzo for Michigan State's been there a bunch. One last thing. Michigan State has lost a lot of close games. And close games, we talk about this during the NFL season. Close games tend to have a lot of luck. Sometimes you're lucky and you win more of them. Sometimes you're not and you win less of them. So when you have a team that's lost a lot of close games, the record is a sign. They're usually better than their record. So I think Michigan State's a team I've advanced fairly far in the bracket that I'll be submitting to our bracket challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge,
yeah,
with Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry to, you know, cut you out of that.
And I think Michigan State is a team to look at as a Cinderella.
Who let you in? Was it Dave?
No, it was a Christine.
Well, she needs to stop that.
She's been let go.
You're a professional.
Sadly. Sadly, she's gone.
Listen,
this is bogus.
Just think how proud you're going to be if you win. And you can, next year during football season, you can intro me with 2 things. Is he hit 66% of his picks last year. And by the way, I beat him in the bracket contest.
Well, that's going to happen. RJ Bell from Las Vegas, thank you for joining us. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And you can go to his website, pregame.com. Thanks, RJ.
My pleasure.
Good to talk to you. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thank you. Phil, Louise, it's a pleasure to be here always.
I'm a little bit more disturbed than usual because I was just told that you have been called Frank before.
It is not, it's not the first time I've been called Frank.
That's strange.
Who called you Frank?
I've been called Frank most of my adult life.
Really?
At one time or another.
Why do you think?
Early on in the highly popular Hollywood Babylon podcast that I do with Kevin Smith,
right?
Fans would write in, fans of Kevin Smith who weren't familiar with me or my work, but would call in to compliment me and say, "Wow, I've never heard you before, but I've always been a Kevin Smith fan, but yeah, you're doing a great job, Frank, and keep going." And then we had the guy did our jingle for the podcast the first time. He sent it in. He said, "It's Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Frank Garman." And
I'm like, "What?"
And I was like, "I asked you to make a jingle, and you got my name wrong?" So it's been a running joke for a long time.
I can't imagine how or why. Like, how does that?
I don't know.
I think it's the R sound.
I guess.
I think it's the name Ralph and Frank. There's a hard R sound in both of those, and people juxtapose them.
All but right. Apparently Bean, too.
Yeah,
am I
Bean
turning
did
into Bean?
Yes, you are.
You have a lot of Bean in you.
Wow.
I don't think we knew how much Bean you have in you.
I'm very uncomfortable with that.
And you got some Kevin in you, too, which is you're like the illegitimate child of Kevin and Bean.
I believe what Kevin said the other day was, "Allie, you have taken the worst traits of me and Bean."
Yeah.
Which was delightful.
That's not what anybody wants. But before we move on with the call-in topic, do you mind if we play the moment with?
Whatever.
Because I'd like to.
And now, a moment with Bean.
She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank.
Well, that was Bean saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that. Okay. Frank. Ralph.
So that's you. Charlie Wilson Moore, Frank.
All right. Let's talk about this topic because...
Maybe it's
because
one of Bean's best friends is named Frank.
Well, that could be, but
and
you
Bean
said...
Bean thinks of me as one of his best friends.
He does. Maybe, though, but other people do it.
And Beans and Franks.
Franks and Beans. Yeah. It's true. Yes.
Bean also said, and we sort of wrote this down, that he loves the taste of NyQuil. Now, that's not possible.
He drinks it on purpose when he doesn't need it, is what he said.
He said when his wife is sick and she's taking NyQuil, he asks for some.
Yeah.
Because he really loves the taste.
Give me a shot of that. Hey, cut me off a piece of that NyQuil.
I find that hard to believe because NyQuil is just jet fuel. It's you just down it and then you've got that after effect for maybe 10 seconds of just horrific taste.
They put crap flavoring in it just to make it swallowable. You know what I mean? Whatever flavor NyQuil has, it's just masking all the medicine that's in there, and it's just flavored enough that you can just swallow it down without retching.
I always wondered if they made it taste bad because in our minds we're sort of wired to go medicine.
Not good.
Tastes bad. Yeah. And so maybe they do that so you think, oh, I'm really taking a drastic measure here.
To it's reverse psychology.
I don't know because no, couldn't they make it taste better?
No, I think they do. That's the best they could do.
No possible way.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. It tastes like Jägermeister to me.
Oh, well, that's a whole different
if that's
thing.
That's the case, and I'm drinking it all. I wish it tastes like Jägermeister to me. It does not taste good to me.
All right, so you like the taste of something that everybody else hates. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You like something, and everybody else goes, what are you talking about? That's nightmarish. Ralph, you had one.
Well,
or Frank, or whoever you are.
Beans is insane, because NyQuil tastes awful.
Right, right.
But mine makes perfect sense, because it's delicious, which is Alka-Seltzer. I love Alka-Seltzer.
Well, but that's
if I don't need, even if I don't need an Alka-Seltzer, I will plop, fizz into a cool glass of water, and then I have a delicious, refreshing cocktail.
You like the taste of it.
I love the taste of Alka-Seltzer. It's like a refreshing salty soda.
Ew.
Salty soda tastes bad.
Salty
what
soda
are you talking about?
Salt is one of the best tastes in the world. So if you have like a salty soda, like a fizzy, like carbonated salt beverage, why don't they make a salt beverage that you could drink? But it's just delicious.
I don't want salty liquid.
I don't either.
That's not what I've heard. I like the taste of Alka-Seltzer.
So Beans crazy, but you're
right.
All right
Beans
with
is
this.
Insane, totally but mine wrong. Makes sense because it's delicious.
That's insane.
Oh. All right, tell me you don't like Alka-Seltzer when you have to take it. You've got indigestion or something. You take an Alka-Seltzer.
No, you just drink. You just down
no, real Alka-Seltzer. Don't get me wrong. Not the Alka-Seltzer Plus. Not the cold medicine. That tastes like ass. But regular
they
Alka-Seltzer.
They all taste like ass.
No, regular Alka-Seltzer tastes delicious.
It just doesn't. Here's
it
the thing about that.
It absolutely does. It
doesn't.
Nope.
No, the thing is that it doesn't.
Listen to Frank. He knows. Alka-Seltzer's delicious.
Let's start with Joe in West Covina. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You like the taste of something everybody else hates.
Pepto-Bismol. I mean, I don't even use that little measuring cup. I just take a swig of it if I'm not like feeling too well.
Guzzle your Pepto-Bismol? What?
Yeah. Some people say it tastes chalky. But
yes.
Yeah, I get that. I get it, but it's really not. It's not a big factor to me.
It's chalky.
You know what the problem is? I think it doesn't taste nearly as good as it looks like it should taste.
Yeah, it does look
you
delicious.
You look at that box like, oh, this is like the best bubble gummy, most delicious liquid gold ever. And then you take a swig, oh my God, it's like melted crayons.
Yeah, like that pink medicine you get when you're a kid, the doctors give you. It kind of resembles that. It tastes good.
Yeah, they're fooling you. Oh, look how pink it is. Good. This is awesome. And then you take. You like the taste. You take it when you don't need it.
No, I don't do all that, but I'm just saying when I do need it, I'll just guzzle it.
Yeah, you look forward to it.
I'll just guzzle it. That's what she said. All right, thank you for the call.
1-800-520-1067
is the phone number. We'll take your call.
I'm just jonesing for a fizzy glass of Alka-Seltzer right now.
You're
after
not,
our conversation.
Not, though, is the thing.
I need it just to cut the dust, just to refresh me a little bit.
We're talking about things that you like the taste of that no one else can understand how that's possible. Let's go to...
is it one of those TLC specials?
It is, yeah. Strange Addictions.
Yeah.
Dennis in Chino, hi.
Good morning.
So you like the taste of?
Cod liver oil.
Oh, no, Dennis.
What?
That's used as a punishment for children.
My mom used to, my older sister and I, she used to give us a tablespoonful in the morning before we headed out to school every morning.
Okay.
And I would come home from school and take a swig or two afterwards.
You would get more of it?
Yes.
How
yeah, I would come home and just right out of the bottle.
Oh dear Lord, it's the fishiest, greasiest thing on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It's delicious. Only as a kid though. I don't buy it now as an adult.
Well, right. I think you should.
I think you should, too, for a special occasion. Like most people open up champagne, you should just pop the top on the cod liver oil when you're celebrating.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
No problem. Thank you.
Strange wow. call. All right.
Cod liver oil.
Cod liver oil. Let's go to Jordan. This is strong.
Let's go to Jordan for the lie.
Jordan from Venice. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, very Jordan. Good. Thank you.
What are you lying about you like the taste of?
So I like the taste of glue.
Come on.
You're a paste eater?
Yeah, but not any type of glue. And I don't want to advertise for them since it's going to sound so delicious.
Say the name.
The Elmer's type of glue, the white, that comes in the one with the orange cap.
We're familiar sure. with yeah, Elmer's glue, Jordan, yes.
So, well, the thing was, you know, when you were a kid and you'd be gluing things and you'd smash the paper down on top of another piece and the glue would come out of the side.
Right, yes. And then so you'd have to wipe it off.
You'd have to wipe that off, and so you'd have it on your fingers.
Right.
And so the logical thing to do with it would just be, you know, instead of smearing it on your pant legs or getting it something else messy, you just lick your finger.
Sure. And, yeah, that's what a one-year-old would do, yes.
Yeah.
Do you still eat it to this day?
I personally don't own any bottles of it, but I'm sure that if I was working on some arts and crafts one day, then
like one does,
then I would probably lick the glue off my fingers.
It's like the jelly. When it squeezes out, that was his jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jordan. Glue. Good folks at Elmer's would like to send you a six-pack.
That's so weird. Let's go to Denise in Castaic. Hi.
Good morning. Hello.
Talking about things you like the taste. Everybody else seems to hate.
I liked kaopectate when I was a kid.
Oh,
I don't know
about
what that's
chalky.
Like.
Kaopectate is, you take it, I guess, for diarrhea, right?
Exactly.
It stops you up.
It did the trick.
Okay, so, right, but but you like the taste of it is our point. Now, do you still like it?
I haven't had it for years, but the second you guys started talking about things, I thought, oh, my God, that's the one thing that I liked as a kid that nobody else liked.
Is it chalky, like Pepto-Bismol?
It's one of those chalky milk of magnesia kind of thingies. Yeah.
But it also was sort of minty or something, if I remember right.
Yeah,
so.
But
plus,
again,
you never had diarrhea, so it's preventative. Yeah. It was a preventative move.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Denise. This is odd, but thank you for calling.
Time for Tanya on line 5? This is crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Tanya.
This makes most people crazy.
Steven, you hold on. We're going to get to you in a second from La Habra.
Tanya,
hi.
Good morning.
What are you doing with your tongue?
I love the taste of the electrical pulses from a 9-volt battery.
I don't disagree with Tanya.
What?
Yeah, it's got that metallic-y, and then it tingles like in the back of
your
throat.
But it doesn't give you, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Can't you not bear that sensation of that shock on your tongue?
It's kind of exciting.
I feel it, but the taste, I really, like when I was younger, I used to suck on keys, too, because it was the same taste.
Well, I'm sorry, you used to suck on keys?
You buried the lead,
yes.
Tanya. Sucking on keys.
Yep.
I get it, though. The metallic, there's something kind of comforting about
that.
You get
the 9-volt battery or you get the keys?
A little bit of both.
What's happening?
Tanya should get a job at a hardware store.
Well, glad you agree with me.
Just sucking on the metal.
Tanya's at Home Depot.
That's so bizarre.
Let me make a copy of that key for you. He's like licking it and tonguing it. It's like a porn movie. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Steven in La Habra. Hi there, Steven.
Hey, how are you guys? You know, what I like to eat in is dirt clods. Ever since I was a little kid, I used to go to construction jobs.
All
dirt clods. I used to go to construction jobs with my dad.
Slow down.
Right, Steven.
Slow down.
Steven, there's a lot of work we have to do with you.
Dirt clods.
Yes.
Okay.
Like little pieces of dirt that, you know, like size, save a, you know, like a big Hershey's Kiss.
Right.
You know, to me, it tastes like Godiva chocolate. When I was a little kid, my dad operated heavy machinery, and he would dig deep into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And during breaks, you know, I'd sit with him, and I'd look, and I'd see this piece of just dirt that had never been touched by a human. And I tasted it. I was like 7 years old. And ever since then, when I go like on a long hike, and I see a nice piece of dirt where, you know, no dogs ever, you know, peed on
that
it.
You know of.
It's virgin dirt, and I just taste it, and it tastes like heaven to me.
Now, were
it's
got to
be virgin dirt, though.
In any sort of vitamin that maybe this was helping?
You know, I don't know. I'm a pretty healthy guy. I know it grosses out my daughter, Jessica, when she's with me.
And it grosses
you,
out
wait,
everyone.
You still do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When he goes hiking, he picks up a nice clod of dirt and takes a bite.
But what if it's just free dirt, free-range dirt? What if it's not a clod?
No, not free-range dirt, or it can't be from my backyard or anything like that. It has to be like...
Wait, how do you make that rule? Why can't it be in your backyard?
It's got to be out in the wilderness.
It's got to be free?
You never know if one of your buddies, you know, when you had a backyard barbecue, decided to, you know, instead of going to the bathroom in the house, decided to go outside. You know, where I eat the dirt, no human has been there before, so it's virgin dirt.
Virgin dirt.
Virgin dirt.
Have you gotten your levels checked, like all your vitamin level? Because I'm thinking you're missing like B12 or something, and you're making up for it.
But you like the taste.
By eating dirt.
You like the taste of it, right?
Oh, yeah. And what a great thing is sometimes, you know, and I'm being serious, you might find like a rock on the inside.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, kind of the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop.
Yeah. It's like See's candy. It's like when you get a nice, when you get a caramel center.
It's the best, guys. You should try it sometime.
No!
All right, Steve. No. Steven, I need you right now to hang up and check yourself into a clinic because you got some issues.
And thank you for calling.
And now, a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that...
I'm sorry, can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said, who's Frank?
Did I
yes,
really?
Yes, I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking
Frank.
About Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie.
Yeah.
Yep.
That happened.
It sure happened.
Really look like a Frank.
Yeah.
Well.
By the way, we're getting some tweets and some emails from people saying that that happens to them as well, that it's a regular thing that the names Frank and Ralph get mixed up.
Yeah, a couple Ralphs
quite often
tweeted that people call them Frank too.
Huh.
And a couple Kevins have said that they get Brian all the time.
Huh. Brian?
Yeah.
Huh.
Joke's on you.
Yeah, who knew? Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Then James Vanderbeek.
This is something, let's face it, we were all thinking. It just took the Associated Press to actually come out officially and print it. They talked about accused murderer Robert Durst and said he was also the former frontman for Limp Bizkit. Here's the quote. Trooper Melissa Mady told the Associated Press an arrest warrant was issued for the former Limp Bizkit frontman, and he was rebooked in the Orleans Parish Jail on Monday under two new charges. Yeah, the AP, thought to be many as the quintessential news organization, thought real estate billionaire Robert Durst was the lead singer for the band Limp Bizkit. That would be, of course, Fred Durst, who was guilty of much worse things than just murder, if you've ever heard his music. That's the guy they should be arresting and putting in jail, really, is Fred Durst.
Imagine his surprise, though. Like, friends called him and said, hey, they're looking at you for murder.
The difference between the Jinx and the Stinx.
Oh.
Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
The worst. Then Associated Press said, of course, we're sorry. It's Fred Durst who is the former Limp Bizkit frontman. Once again, turns out that was incorrect because apparently Limp Bizkit is still together. They're still a thing, and he's still the lead singer for that band.
Yeah.
But really? Just barely?
I mean, just barely. I mean, they're still playing.
They talked to the president of the Limp Bizkit fan club, and they said, that band's still together? Is that guy still wearing the hat?
Yeah, it's still a thing.
David Arquette's my new man. He's my boy. Apparently he got into a fight with Justin Bieber.
Look, anybody that takes on Bieber, I'm down with.
Right?
Yep.
According to the New York Post, page 6, he got booted from the Biebs' suite in Vegas for talking trash about him, and then snuck back into the party and bum-rushed Bieber. Bieber and a friend in security had to kick him out a second time. Neither of the gentleman's representatives apparently are commenting about the situation, which means it happened, which means good for you, David Arquette, you nutty scream actor, you. Oh, K-Rock microphones were there. Great, good, yes. Keep going. Good. I like it. Keep going.
What was that?
Silverware.
All right. Is that what we got there?
Can't tell who won.
Did you say silverware when
it
that tire
like
iron dropped?
Clanging and
it could you know have been
what,
silverware.
Ralph, I liked
How do you know,
it
Frank?
When you were sleeping.
You know what, Louise? I did too. Scott Disick is in rehab. He's going to finally get sober. He's going to be the father and the baby daddy he always wanted to be.
Hmm. But when he gets out of rehab, is he still going to be Scott Disick?
He'll still be a dick, yeah. Hmm. They don't have dick rehab.
I don't know. Look into that.
Played at Coachella, but they're playing at Coachella, by the way. It's coming in. They're a great band. He is checking into the Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. This is where he's going to get sober.
What?
I doubt it. Here's how he's going to get sober. This center uses an African psychedelic shrub called Iboga.
Come on.
Wait for it. To send their patients on a flight to examine their inner selves and discover what triggers their addictions.
Huh.
A shaman observes the entire process. And the center claims the approach is so effective, they offer a money-back guarantee.
Wow. Wow.
But then can you get addicted to that?
Iboga?
Iboga?
You're going to get high in order to get sober? Here's the best part. Scott Disick, according to RadarOnline.com, is getting a big paycheck.
What?
To do his rehab at this center to become
the
face and spokesperson of the rehab.
No.
Yes.
What?
It's an endorsement deal.
What?
He's getting hired to be the spokesperson for the Rhythmia Life Advancement Center in Costa Rica. So he can say, I took some Iboga and went on a flight to examine my inner self. And now I don't drink anymore.
There's nothing good about this story. It's all BS.
It's all BS.
I hate everything and everyone.
The irony, too, is Scott Disick has been examining his inner self for years because his head's been up his ass.
He's not going to stop drinking.
No. He's going to start drinking rum and Iboga. That's all. I got to get me some of that Iboga.
You enjoy that.
Let me know which doctor. Get me some Iboga. Score me some Iboga.
How do you even find out about that place?
Look, obviously they came to him and said, look, we got this BS thing where we give you some plant. You can keep drinking if you want, but at the end, say it worked, and then we'll pay you a big check.
Got to get that kind of deal.
And see if Rob can get some of those designer socks for us. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Lily Collins is 26 years old today. Familiar with the Lily Collins?
I am, yes.
That's why I was questioning, because I did not hear a bell.
Yep.
She is the daughter of Phil. What are you laughing at?
I was thinking about my...
Yeah, don't.
Phil Collins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm telling you, she is.
Right?
She's the actress daughter of Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What did I miss?
Oh, nothing. We're just
what did I miss while I was
she's
napping?
She's thinking all about Susudio and all the nightmare that she was doing the other
right,
day. So
okay.
She's trying to move right on from that.
Singer Adam Levine's 36 years old today. What band's he the singer of?
Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. That's right. You know what?
How dare you.
Allie, you may not know this, but Kevin is a huge Maroon 5 fan.
I did not know that.
Oh, he's constantly begging us to just love that band and just appreciate them the way he does. I remember it as if it was yesterday when Kevin was on the Grammys. What's up?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, remember that?
Oof. Yeah, that happened.
Comedian Dane Cook is 43 years old today.
I remember when I was doing that, when I was doing the Grammy stuff, and Ralph came to me one day and he goes, why do you do this? You hate all of the people that you're introducing. I was like, it's a good point.
Why do you accept this job? They make you say you love bands you don't like. Let's give some love to Maroon. That was the year you both did it. Remember they brought you both, at you and B.
Oh, yeah.
And B was like, let's all hail Queen Latifah.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that was us.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Odd.
Speaking of Queen Latifah, it's her birthday as well.
Ah.
45 years old today. Comedian Dane Cook is 43, and actress, former Miss America Vanessa Williams. Do you remember the hullabaloo, the
yes,
brouhaha, when she was Miss America and Penthouse picture had pictures of her naked?
Yep.
It was as if the world ended. Now you can get a video of Miley Cyrus banging a rhinoceros, and everybody goes, well,
That's Miley. Miley being Miley. She's so nutty.
I haven't seen that one.
The way she took that horn. And everyone just goes about their day, just goes about their business. Poor Vanessa Williams had one naked picture. All right, a couple naked pictures.
Yeah. It was a different time.
And it was the end of, it was end times.
Yeah, people made a huge deal about that.
It's ridiculous.
Should have given her a reward.
Yes. I gave her many rewards. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Say hi to James Vanderbeek, everybody.
Woohoo!
Hello.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good.
I was going to say sorry to make you get up so early, but then I heard you have like 19 kids all under the age of five, so you're probably up at 3 a.m. anyway. Doesn't
yeah,
matter,
this is,
right?
This is the latest I've gotten up in months.
I'm sure.
Do you mind talking about them, the ages? Because yeah, this is not a smart decision.
Well.
Go ahead.
It was in the moment. It was 4, 3, and 1.
Wow.
4-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Three under the age of five.
Same time.
They're awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, they're awesome. Fun. No question about that. But
they will suck the life out of you.
They will kill you.
Yeah. You will just be a dried up husk in the corner of the room by the time they're 12.
It is an odd experiment in sleep deprivation,
yes,
for sure.
It is.
Are you finished, or are you going to have more?
Once we figure out this whole not getting pregnant thing, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
As soon as modern technology comes up with some sort of technique where you don't have to impregnate your wife,
you're going to have to work on that.
But. Well, maybe the new series will distract you for long enough from your wife's lady parts that you can keep her from getting pregnant for a minute.
We are talking about
CSI Cyber.
CSI Cyber is a full hour, and how many episodes have you done, or are you going to do this season?
We shot 13.
13.
Yeah, they picked us up 13 straight to air.
So Ralph just mentioned, you know, your work life. How much work is it?
It's
to do one episode.
It's 8 days.
Eight days.
Average about 13, 14 hours a day.
Did you take the job so that you could rest? Is that why you said
easier
yes?
To work 14 hours a day?
Really? This is the first time in my life I've ever gone, thank God it's Monday.
Because no one says that.
Yeah. Except for people
except
with
for
really
you. How did you get hooked up with the show? How did you become interested in it?
You know, I had done a sitcom for CBS, which they aired, I think, 4 episodes of or 5 episodes before opting to not renew it.
It was really funny.
Oh,
though.
Thank you.
So funny.
Thank you. I loved it. I had a great time. They were great hours. And so CBS canceled that. So I thought, well, screw CBS, man. They
That's
clearly
right.
don't
right?
get me.
Never work for these
suckers
again.
They don't understand.
They just don't get it.
And then I was like, what? You're offering me CSI? I always loved you guys. You guys are my family.
Yeah.
I think they just heard how many kids they had, and they're like, oh, we got to get Vanderbeek something. What do we got back there?
Poor bastard.
Poor
bastard. Got to make a living.
He's got kids to feed. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know what possessed them based on the comedy work that I'd done to offer me like this door-kicking, gun-wielding FBI agent role, but I'm having fun with it.
Now, I was reading an interview with you where you talk about you were learning Krav Maga and jiu-jitsu and all this different training. Why were you doing that? Just to get in shape?
Yeah, well, to get in shape, and also when I've learned the benefit of reinvention in this business, especially as an actor for hire. And so when I started doing comedy, it was people were kind of like, "Wow, I didn't know he could do that." And there was a discovery, and it kind of revived my career. And so I thought, all right, what's going to be next? Like, what if I'm looking around the corner? What's the next thing that I want to do?
And you said I might be an action star.
I said, yeah, action. Actually, because it's fun to do. I'm just, you know, still young enough almost to do it. and before I got too old, I wanted to try my hand at it. It translates across genres too. It translates internationally really well.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a good trick to have in the bag. So. Yeah, I started doing it, and
what
3 years later,
is it called Krav Maga?
Krav Maga is what they teach the Israeli Special Forces.
Right.
It's a really quick, efficient, brutal form of martial arts. It's one I hope to never use, actually. And then jiu-jitsu, and then I started working out at a stunt house to learn how to kind of modify all that for camera.
And next step is UFC?
Next up is WWF.
CSI UFC.
All right, let's talk about CSI Cyber.
Yes.
It's about computers. Tell me about the deep web. That seems like a fascinating concept to me because it is what percentage of the internet?
huge.
It's bigger than the actual surface web that, everybody knows.
When you search in Google and Yahoo or whatever, it's like 1% or 2% of the internet, and everything else is hidden.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of this story comes from.
It's a really, really crazy place. It's completely unmonitored. It was described to me by an FBI expert as a really bad neighborhood. If you go, number one, you don't want to go there. But if you do go there, you want to know exactly where you're going, and you want to get out really quick because you don't know what you're going to click on, what's going to kind of catch on to you as you're there. It's just a really dark, shady place. It's the
sites
backside
like,
of the internet.
Yeah, and there are sites like where they sell weapons, and there are sites and where they sell big drug rings and people. I mean, it's really crazy and unmonitored.
Yeah, completely unmonitored.
How do you get there?
I mean,
How do you get there?
I have not asked. I have not.
You're the worst cyber agent I've ever met. I don't even know how to get to the neighborhood.
Damn, you just said
I
it's
follow
unmonitored.
The rules, Ralph. Yeah. There are rules in society, and I follow them.
You're the guy that kicks in the door if they need
Just show me what door to kick in. Where's my gun?
Did you have to learn a lot about technology?
Yeah. I mean, I was somewhat proficient before. Yeah. But, we have FBI experts as tech advisors, and they're in the writer's room. And so all the storylines are basically inspired by stuff that actually either has happened, could happen. The tools are there, and then the writers kind of put it together. Well, what if somebody did this to hack a ride-sharing company? I think it's tonight's episode. It's pretty scary.
Is there pressure going into a CSI to carry on sort of the legacy that this incredible television franchise has sort of established for itself?
I mean, you do. Yeah. I mean, I keep saying, I feel like I signed with the Yankees. Like it's the biggest franchise in TV. Yeah, and so it is something to think about. Wow. If we run 6 years, we'll be the least successful chapter in this franchise.
That's a lot of pressure right there.
Yeah.
You got a lot going for you because there are people obviously who just enjoy these procedural dramas and this one in particular and the way they do it. Obviously the production is top notch and the writing is great and all the people involved. So it's nice for you to know that you've got that kind of support group going in.
It's amazing. We can just kind of jump in. I mean, like I said, we didn't even do a pilot. They just picked us right up to series and with largely the CSI New York crew. So usually in a pilot, you feel like, wow, I'm really kind of carrying some of this. We got to figure this out. We got to invent this.
They didn't even ask for a pilot.
I just showed up and I just kind of, jumped on board and they were off.
And Patricia Arquette is the star.
Yeah.
James Vanderbeek's the star, Kevin.
Patricia's the co-star.
It's Patricia's team. Substar. She is our fearless leader. Yeah.
And who else there's a bunch of experts there too. That
yeah.
You all have your realm of influence.
Yeah, really interesting cast. Bow Wow.
Oh, wow.
Is on it, and he's great.
He's great on
he's
it.
He's really, really good. Yeah, really
did he drop the lil?
Kid.
He did.
Yeah. He did, but he's not like, don't call me lil. Like, he's very,
tried,
he's, very
you?
He's a very well-adjusted. I don't know how he's so well-adjusted, honestly. Given
his nickname used to be Lil Bow Wow. Now it's Bow Wow because he's no longer Lil.
Or Bow, or you call him Shod. Charlie Koontz, who's on Community, played Neil on Community, is also one of the guys. Haley Kiyoko is great. And then an actor who was my favorite TV actor when I was a kid growing up is Peter McNichol.
We were talking about him before you walked in. Just one of our favorites, too, from Ally McBeal and, Sophie's Choice.
Had a great film career before
that. Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2.
Which I'm embarrassed to say I watched.
No, it's a great film, and he's awesome in it.
James Vanderbeek is here. We need to take a quick break. It's CSI Cyber. It airs tonight, Wednesday nights at 10 on CBS, and we'll be right back. James Vanderbeek is in the studio with us talking about CSI Cyber.
The one question we all have, though, I think even beyond how excited we are for CSI Cyber, is how much money do we have to raise to make your Power Rangers movie full length? What's it going to take for us to see that for reals? Because that was one of the greatest things I've seen on the internet in a year.
Oh, thank you.
You guys did an amazing job with that. You and Katie Sackhoff just kicking ass and taking names. What a great little film that was.
Oh, thank you, man. That was a lot of fun.
Did you know him, or how did he get you to act in that?
Addie, I met at a party at some like really stuffy agency party somewhere. Everybody's in a suit, and there's this kid wearing face paint.
Yeah.
I swear he had dreadlocks. He denies it, but I swear he had dreadlocks. And I was like, okay, that's the dude I want to talk to. And
I went over. Eddie Shankar, the producer of the thing, who put it together.
Yeah. And he produced The Gray, he produced Killing Them Softly, Machine Gun
Dread.
Preacher,
right?
Dread. Yeah. So he's, successful, just a really innovative, smart guy who is a little, just pretty much unconcerned with the, unspoken rules of Hollywood.
And some of the spoken ones.
And some of the spoken ones, too. He and I became really good friends. And I said, what are you working on? We were at dinner, and he said, dude, I want to do a super violent rated R take on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And I said, that's completely stupid. I'm in.
Did he ask you then? Will you do it? Or
no,
did
I actually
offer?
It sounded so crazy. And I wasn't working at the time. And I just thought, you know, because I had done Funny or Die as a lark. And then that really kind of changed the course of my career. So I could see the value in just doing something. Really what it was, is he's a huge fan himself. He's not one of these executives who has to think, God, what are the guys at Comic-Con or girls going to really want to see? He is that person.
Right.
And he just happens to have this kind of town at his disposal and all these tools. And so I just thought, you know what? He wants to make something cool completely outside the studio system. I met with Joseph Kahn, who directed it, an amazing director, and who had been in Movie Jail, by the way.
I didn't know there was Movie Jail.
Yeah. I mean, if you direct a movie and it doesn't do well, it doesn't perform, the town kind of puts you off the side. So Joseph couldn't even really get it.
They kind of keep you at arm's length because...
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we don't want you. We want somebody else. And so Joseph just really wanted to make something that was completely his own vision. And I said, you know what? These are the kind of people I want to work with. So we put all this work in. I learned how to sword fight. I wrote a little sword fight into the back end of the thing for myself because I wanted to because right. I grew up on Star Wars.
Hey, we should have a sword fight. Yeah. That just seems like a...
Well, you do it. You get a Power Ranger.
Yeah. Completely what it was. And and then it blew up and Joseph's being offered every movie in town.
Oh, that's great.
It's yeah, it was a real success story for him and for Addy too.
And it's been seen almost 14 million times.
Yeah, in 12 million in the first 2 days. It was crazy until Haim Saban.
Wait a minute. Hey, you know what?
Are
hey.
You stealing from me?
Don't make anything better than we can do.
Because of Power Rangers, he came on to talk to us and he informed us that we are all allowed to call you what he calls you. Do you know what that is?
Can I say it on air? Or is it?
Wow.
Well, I'm kidding.
Not what I was going to say.
I'm kidding.
No, he calls you the Beaks.
Yeah.
The Beaks.
So
the Beaks.
I called up the Beaks
there's
about
an S on it?
The Beaks. Beaks.
The Beaks. Okay.
Yeah. So are we allowed to?
Can we call you the Beaks?
I mean, it's a little weird if you call me that to my face. Like, hi, the Beaks. It's
well,
a little strange. It's usually
first
a,
name the.
It's how I'm referred to after I leave the room. But you know, you guys can use it.
Thanks,
100%.
Beaks.
Thanks so much.
We are talking with James Vanderbeek about
the Beaks.
About CSI Cyber, which again is on tonight at 10 o'clock on CBS. Tell me what kind of feedback you get from computer literate people, hackers, and
you know, I really
people in the community.
I really love this community because there's a part of them that's excited that people are actually acknowledging what can happen in cyberspace and in crime and in crime fighting. And then there are people who are also – it drives them crazy that even though the situation can happen and the technology exists and we're actually using it the correct way – nobody can scroll an entire worldwide database in only 30 seconds. So they point that out on Twitter. And so I think, you know what? Fair point. However, four people staring at a scrolling wheel on a screen for 17 minutes.
Not great
probably
TV.
Not the most compelling television we could make.
Do you have anybody come to you and go, hey, let's talk about the deep web or shady parts of the internet?
You're being threatened by cyberbullies?
How about if you stop talking about that?
You know, I haven't really gone to the places where I could kind of get that kind of feedback.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, you know, come out of the shadows. Who knows? I'll come at you. I'm just saying, you haven't heard anything about that yet.
No. It's, I mean, I think we're pretty friendly. And we're not anti-hacker because there are a lot of great hackers out there who really kind of keep the world honest. So I hope we have a pretty fair approach to the whole thing.
And
going with eyes wide open, too.
And this is based on the story of a woman who I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah, Mary Aiken is who Patricia's character is based on. And Mary is a forensic cyber psychologist. She works with Interpol. She works with the FBI. And the crazy thing about these crimes is you think, God, it's a hacking crime. There are no clues. Well, she can profile based on the little bits of information and lines of code and sentence syntax. And if there's a manifesto or if there's a picture – she can paint with these tiny little brushstrokes.
In real life, she can
do that. There's a thing a while ago where a kid threatened to go like shoot up his school or something, and we sent it to her. And within an hour, she diagnosed exactly what was happening. She's like, okay, he says he's working with other people, but he's not because he changes from I to we. She gave us the age range. She said it was male. She said he was doing it for attention to try and impress a peer group. She looked at the picture of guns that he posted. She said, those are police guns. You can see where there's a disturbance down in the bottom where he used Photoshop to take out the police tag. Also, the way they're lined up, nobody would have more than one of this weapon. I mean, she knew exactly, and just within an hour, she knew what the government then and the authorities said, you know, released like 3 days later.
That's crazy.
And that's who Patricia's character is based on.
Well, it's a fascinating show. It's CSI Cyber. You never know what's going to happen because it's all, you know, basically what could happen on the internet is what you guys write shows about. So what's tonight's show about?
Tonight's show is it's somebody hacks a ride sharing company. One of those, you know, you get an app.
Find out their rating.
Ride.
to
give themselves, an extra star.
I need 5 stars.
At the very end.
This guy just wanted 5 stars.
You're going to jail, sir.
Turns out the criminal's the guy with the giant pink mustache. That's how we knew it was him. I knew there was something about that guy.
All right, we're out of time, but we would like to bring up one last thing.
Yes.
You're a dog stealer.
You talk about how you're a dog thief.
I steal dogs.
Dog thief.
Ralph, summarize the story for us, if you would. You did it in showbiz.
We're talking about the showbiz news. We were talking about the fact that it was a woman who said you came in and just stole a chihuahua out from under her and ruined her life.
You know, I just ripped it right out of
and
her arms.
We said, not the beaks. How could he do that to her?
The beaks wouldn't do that.
I cursed her tears. I had my kids at a fair where there was a dog adoption. I was railroaded into adopting these dogs.
I believe it was Wolfstock, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you very much. Yes, it was. Indeed, it was.
I'll never forget that name.
I was going to say Dogapalooza, but no, you're right. It was
different.
And my son picks out one dog. My daughter picks out another dog. Turns out these two dogs are inseparable. They sleep on each other. They both came to the shelter the same day, and they say, "Listen, we're closing up right now. We'll come back Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. We're closed Monday, and you can adopt a dog." We said, "Okay." And I wanted to talk to my kids about little dog responsibility. Let's not just rush into this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we show up at 8:07 on Tuesday, and my kids are like, "I want my doggies back." I'm like, "Okay, here we go." We go in, and there's a woman playing with one of the dogs in one of the kind of play areas. And my kids are like, "My dog!" The dog comes up and licks them through the bars.
Oh, that's adorable.
And this woman says, "I was thinking of maybe getting this dog." I'm like, "Our kids, are you getting, you know, my kids want the dog too." She's like, "Yeah, but I saw him Sunday." Like, "We did too."
Was she crying yet?
And she says, "Well, I already got a crate." And like, "Yeah, we got one in the car." "We got one in the car. But I already named him." I'm like, "My daughter did too." I'm like, "God, what do we do?"
Did you guys fight?
Well, I said, are you taking both the dogs together?" And she goes, "No, I'm just taking the one." I'm like, "Oh, but these dogs are inseparable. You gotta, like, if you're gonna..." "No, I'm only in the one. I already have a dog." It's like, okay. And then we go to the front desk, and the front desk says, "In this case, what happens is..." Both parties write a number on a ticket that they're willing to pay for the dog. Mm-hmm. It is a silent auction. They tear the ticket off the bottom of it like it's some raffle.
Oh, this is a scam.
And then they bring – so you go up to the desk. It's a very official process. They bring out an egg timer and set it for 15 minutes.
Stop it.
In case somebody else comes and claims the dog within 15 minutes.
This is like – People's Court.
This is like it's
mixed with
Sophie's Choice. It's like crazy. So then this woman starts crying. But I've got you know, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old who have their hearts set on the two dogs, and I'm like going, "This is
start
a
crying,
crazy sorry situation."
Like, crying, you know, what do we cry now?
So we you know, I figure it's a donation of an animal shelter. It's not, you know, money poorly spent. So we
so you crushed that woman.
So we left her
you
in
destroyed
the dust.
That woman.
I put a number she could never match. Screw her. And
that's how the beaks roll.
And then we offered to, you know, foot her fee to adopt another dog.
That's funny. That wasn't in the story.
And then later that day, my publicist called and said, "Page 6 just called. Did you go to an animal shelter?
Yeah.
And steal a dog from some poor crying lady?"
And your answer was yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
That's funny. They didn't put in the kids.
No.
And they didn't put in your offer to buy another one.
No,
they
dog.
Left all of that out. It's just and you and your heartless nature with her.
That's right. Yes.
Egg timer.
That
happened.
That's so funny.
James Vanderbeek, we call him the Beaks, is on CSI Cyber. It is on tonight on CBS at 10 o'clock and every Wednesday night. Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
I don't know if you saw in the news about Starbucks and their new plan, their new Race Together plan. CEO Howard Schultz made the announcement that apparently they're going to start writing stuff on the cups as they hand the cups to people, and it'll say hashtag race together, and it's supposed to start a dialogue about race issues in the country. He says he was looking at the, you know, all the unrest in Ferguson, and this is a very hot button type issue, but they need to handle it, and that conversation needs to be had.
So you're handed a cup.
Yes.
It says race relations, and then you're...
It says race together.
Race together, uh-huh. Sorry. And then your barista is like, hey, let's talk about race.
That's what it sounds...
What is happening?
It sounds like
How
the worst idea.
How is that a good idea,
I don't
Howard?
Know. I don't know. That's why we have a spokesperson on the line. It is Starbucks spokesperson Rex Tyler. Good morning, Rex.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm great. Couldn't be better.
Talking about Race Together, the new
program. Yeah, how about that? That's a great idea, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you're going to have baristas all over the country talking about race relations with customers?
We sure are. And golly gosh, I'm really looking forward to it.
Rex, when you heard about this, CEO Howard Schultz is the one that said, listen, I reject that people shouldn't be talking about race. What was your initial reaction?
I thought that was great. I thought it was great. I said, I'm going to make myself another cappuccino.
You sound pretty hopped up.
I'll tell you something. Race relations, a barista, the person who makes minimum wage behind the counter talking about race, I think it's a great idea.
Do you foresee any problems?
None whatsoever.
None.
Listen, what do? We make black coffee and we put white milk in it. Boom. We've already got it solved.
Well, I don't know that that solves anything.
It's going to be great. Trust me on this. You're really going to enjoy it. You get up there and they got your name spelled wrong in your cup and they say, hey, let's talk about Mexicans. You go, all righty then, let's do it.
wait. The baristas are going to say, let's talk about Mexicans?
Or whatever. You know, minorities in general or white people. Hell, but everyone's going to have a good time about it. I can tell you that much.
It seems like maybe it's a more complex issue than people want to deal with when they're ordering coffee.
Not really.
What are you saying? Not really.
Do you think so?
You just, you come up there and you order whatever it is you're going to have. Hey, I'll take one of those frappuccinos. All right. Hey, black people are cool, right? Yeah, I think so. Boom. Problem solved.
You don't want that.
Hold on, I got to make another cappuccino. All right, I'm good. Okay. Oh, I love people of all colors.
Right.
Rex, when people go to get their coffee, they're in a rush. Sometimes in a bad mood because they haven't had their coffee yet. Why do I want to talk to you about race relations?
Because, see, we're going to race together. Don't you understand? We're going to go. We all got some place to be. Let's go there together. Let's go hand in hand. Men, women, blacks, gays, Mexicans. You name it. Let's all just come together and let's just all pull together and let's just all just drink a lot of coffee.
Okay. All right. So let's say I'm 10th in line and I'm sort of in a rush. And the guy is talking to the barista about race relations.
Yes.
I'm not happy. Maybe a fight breaks out in the actual Starbucks.
Okay, white people.
Well, I don't. I'm just saying serve coffee.
Sounds to me like you hate black people.
Not at all. I didn't say the person up front was black.
But you just hate black people in general.
I don't
I'm
at
getting
all.
That feeling. I'm getting a feeling.
What are you talking about?
I'm getting a feeling. Do you hate black people?
No.
Hey, look, we just talked about race. Ain't that something?
Huh. Wow.
See? Gotcha.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Coming up just after the top of the hour. You know your mic's on, right, Ralph?
What's happening?
I didn't know that.
Ralph's whispering. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we have tickets for Get Hard. So we are looking for Will Ferrell fans. If you know Will Ferrell's movies, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. And we'll do that right after the top of the hour. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Sometimes you don't have my mic on when I'm talking into
it. Yeah,
And the one time I'm trying to whisper to Chip and get some information, then the microphone is gone. So what do I know?
I try to do the opposite of what you want.
It's opposite week.
And the opposite of what is good for the show.
Yes, I appreciate
that.
That's
how I roll.
Before I get to showbiz news, I just do want to mention that tonight is the Baby Daddy spring finale. You know how much I love Baby Daddy, the TV series Baby Daddy.
I don't know that.
No.
Baby Daddy is on ABC Family.
Okay.
8:30 p.m. tonight is the spring finale of Baby Daddy. Of course, they're back in June with all new episodes, but we just love Baby Daddy, and we want everyone to watch Baby Daddy.
What's happening?
They beat me down. They beat me down. The baby daddy people have beat me down.
You may not remember this, but we did a segment where I mentioned the baby daddy was being renewed for its fifth season.
Oh, wait. I see where you're going. I woke up
in a noble daddy. No, not at all. No.
I don't think that's it.
And I said, well, that doesn't even exist. That's not a show, Baby Daddy.
Right.
How can it be on the air for 5 years when I haven't even heard about it? It doesn't really exist. It's a fake show, Baby Daddy.
And then?
Then the Baby Daddy people descended on us. In the best possible way.
They crush your soul?
First, they sent us a giant basket of candy.
Oh,
saying,
that's good.
We love you guys, and we're here, and we exist, and we're real, and we're called Baby Daddy, and we're a show. And we said, oh, that's adorable, and we ignored them. Then they sent a giant basket of muffins, delicious fresh-baked muffins. And I said, that's so nice, this show is for real, and these people seem funny, and they have a sense of humor about themselves, and that's sweet of them, and we ignored them. Well, today, a giant carton shows up full of breakfast burritos, and they brought breakfast in for everybody on the morning show.
I love Baby Daddy.
And they said, we want you to know it's our spring finale tonight over in Baby Daddy. We love your show, and we're thinking of you, and we're real.
But if you acknowledge it, they're going to stop sending us stuff.
Good point.
No! Oh,
we could have gotten... Point. What were they going to give us tomorrow?
Oh, they would have sent a car.
Oh.
What was I thinking?
You ruined it.
No, just they're very sweet, and they've been very nice to us, so I did want to mention, programming note, that tonight at 8:30 p.m. on ABC Family is the spring finale of Baby Daddy, and I can't wait for their all-new episodes when they come back, because that show... Starring whomever it may be.
Baby daddies.
Lots of baby daddies.
Uh-huh.
Is, I'm sure, charming.
You love it.
And or funny or serious, depending on what they're shooting for.
Whatever they're going for, they
nail. I'm assuming it's a humorous show.
Right.
But it could be a serious drama. Either way, I say they probably equate themselves very nicely.
Whatever they're going for works.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're just big baby daddy fans here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Regardless of whatever the program may or may not be about. I'm assuming it's about children of some kind and the men who sire them.
Well, that's probably a pretty good guess.
Right. I'm going to check one of these out.
You're not.
I'm going to watch a baby daddy. I'll come back and give you a full report.
You're not going to watch.
I will report back on the baby daddy.
You're not going to watch.
Look at me. Out of time already. Did Omar send you my clip, Chip?
Yes.
That's what I was trying to get at earlier when I was whispering to you.
Ah.
This is my favorite guy. I love televangelists. Are you televangelist fans?
I am. I love them too.
The men and women who claim to speak on behalf of God or the Lord Jesus Christ.
I find them endlessly entertaining, but I don't like the fact that they fool a lot of old people.
How dare you, sir?
Kevin, they make people stand up that haven't had use of their legs for
years.
First
of all, Louise is right. They do heal people. That is a thing that happens.
Agreed.
Right.
And they also will change your life.
Right.
And they have large rooms full of people who aren't gullible at all.
Right.
Who aren't just lost souls looking for any port in a storm.
I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood.
These are smart, critical thinking people.
Mm. Okay.
And they show them the light, and God speaks to them.
Then I love them.
That's what I'm saying. None more.
Along with Baby Daddy. Love both.
Then maybe they have televangelists on Baby Daddy. I don't know. None more so than Pastor Creflo Dollar. Are you familiar with Creflo?
I've never heard of Dr. Creflo Dollar.
Pastor Creflo Dollar. Look at Louise there shaking her head up and down.
Yeah. He's an African-American pastor.
He is. He is the real deal. And he is saving lives and saving souls.
Okay.
But he needs a little help from you.
How much help does he need?
He needs a little help from you, a child of God. If you could just pitch in. If each of his followers could give $300 or more to help him purchase his new Gulfstream G650 aircraft he's trying to get.
What?
Real.
Creflo needs a new plane, Kevin, to save souls.
I will go. No.
No.
This is real.
This just doesn't... What? Did he say I'm going to buy a plane?
The plane is known as the fastest plane ever built in civilian aviation, and he needs himself a Gulfstream so he can get to foreign countries to save some souls faster. Just $300. Just give them $300, Kevin. Don't ask so many questions. Just give them the money for Jesus.
It's a jet for Jesus or a Gulfstream for God.
Here's Creflo's man asking you for some money.
We have offices on multiple continents.
Right.
And our ministry stretches across television, personal appearances.
Yes.
And meeting the needs of people.
Right.
All over the world.
Yes.
So a plane is a vital part of the mission of our ministry.
Thank you. Creflo can't save your soul if he doesn't have a plane. So get on it and give Creflo some money.
I got to tell you, at least he's being honest about what he's going to do with the money.
Pastor Creflo, dollar. Dollar's in his name.
apparently, he is rethinking his plan to buy the $65 million private jet.
Holy cow.
Seems he drew some fire for being seemingly materialistic. Ask her after a video of him asking for a donation surfaced online. So Creflo may be reconsidering his plan to get his Jesus jet, as Allie put it.
Gulf Stream for God.
There we go.
I'd send him money.
You're his people.
I would. He needs a plane, Ralph.
I'm going to send him a basket of muffins, just like the baby daddy people, and say, here you go. Tell Jesus, give Jesus my best, but tell him I'm a little short this month and I'm not buying him a Gulf Stream. If Jesus really wanted you to go to Zimbabwe or New Zealand or wherever it is you need to go, Jesus could get you there. That's all I'm saying.
You don't need the plane?
That's right.
All right.
How about wings? I've seen angels. Wings. Put wings on Creflo. Where's that program? Where's Get Wings for Creflo program?
I don't know. I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthday. Vanessa Williams is 52 years old today. Actress Queen Latifah is 45. Comedian Dane Cook turns 43. Adam Levine from Maroon 5 is 36 years old. Any chance we got that audio anytime soon?
Yep.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Try it again.
All right. Adam Levine, lead singer for Maroon 5. No, that's not the... No.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, he's 36 years old. And actress Lily Collins celebrates her 26th birthday. No time for Bugatti here. Next hour.
Oh, what a shame.
Next hour, we'll Bugatti. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Woo for you. Woo, I leave it all.
It does really sound like...
Oh, Dobby-Do.
It really does sound like Adam Sandler.
Oh, Dobby-Do.
Stop it. That sounds ridiculous. Why are we still playing it?
Oh, Dobby-Do. Oh, Kevin, Jack, and I want to sing a song. Scooby-Do.
Stop it. Dumb. Stop
it's
it.
It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have tickets for you to...
Oh, David Spade. And I'll make a movie. Scooby-Do.
To go to the Will Ferrell movie Get Hard, the screening is, I think, next week, I want to say.
Wow. As if only there was some paperwork in front of you that you could read from.
I can't read. You know better than that. We're going to play a game called Will You Know?
Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell, he's our man. Make me laugh, he sure can. Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell, he's our guy. More cowbell, turn it up high.
So we have clips of Will...
All right. I ran out of intro.
We have clips of Will Ferrell movies.
Yes, we do.
All you have to do is identify it.
How simple could that be?
We have 5 pair of tickets to give away, so if you get it right, you win the tickets.
You're going to the screening.
That's correct.
And you'll be entered into the grand prize drawing, which is a trip to San Francisco, California.
Yay! Airfare, hotel, trip to Alcatraz, $500 spending cash.
You'll go to San Francisco?
Let's start with Alexandra.
Yep.
In Long Beach. Hi there.
Hi.
All right. I'm going to play a clip from a Will Ferrell movie. You tell me what it is. Ready?
Okay.
How do you intend to match up to the Squire's strong inside game?
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
All right. Name of that movie, please.
Is that from Anchorman?
Oh, no.
Sorry, it's semi-pro.
Yeah. From which one?
Semi-pro.
Yeah.
The basketball movie?
Thank you for the call.
All right. I love that film.
I did too. He actually brings, remember when he brings the bear? He's like, yeah. Run!
I remember
yeah,
the bear.
Do.
Yeah, you and your bears.
Frank from Wilmington. Hi.
Hey, morning, guys.
Frank.
It's the real Frank this time.
This time it's actually Frank. All right, we're going to play a clip. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
What movie is this?
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Tom Cruise! Tom Cruise, use your witchcraft to get the fire off me!
Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby.
Good enough. Boom. The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. You win. Congratulations.
Hold on, Frank. Give you all the details.
Right. Ronnie and Pico Rivera.
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, Ronnie. We're going to play a clip from a Will Ferrell movie. You need to identify it, okay?
Awesome.
Here you go.
Yes, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I invented the piano key necktie. I invented it. What have you done, Derek? Nothing! You've done nothing! Nothing!
Love him so much. What's the name of that movie?
Step Brothers?
I'm sorry? Step Brothers, he said.
No, that was Zoolander.
Zoolander.
Mm. My God, okay, all right.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, you're underwater, Ronnie.
I got one out of three so far has one.
Yeah.
Ashley in Corona. Hi, Ashley. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here's your Will Ferrell movie. You tell us the name.
We're going streaking! Yes! Sorry, we're going streaking! Come on! Snoop! Snoop-a-loop!
Snoop-a-loop.
Is that old school?
That is old school.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Well done, Ash.
Hold on, please. We'll give you the info. Let's go to Jamie in Huntington Beach. Hi, Jamie.
What a do, baby boo.
What is happening? You ready for your movie?
Yes.
All right. This is, I think, going to be relatively easy. Here we go.
Quiero a la muchacha. Déjala ir. Y los dos nos vamos. Solo te daré una oportunidad. Suelta a la mujer. Y te dejo vivir.
What is Will Ferrell doing? I mean, why?
He made a movie in Spanish.
But why would he do that?
Because he's the best.
All right. Name of the movie, please, Jamie.
I have zero idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jamie! It was a while back, but it was all in Espanol, the whole thing. It was called Casa de mi Padre.
Okay, that's BS.
No, it happened. He made a whole movie in Spanish.
No, it is BS, but it did happen as well.
Oh, can't you give Jamie the... Really?
Come on, Allie.
See, as for that.
But
Jamie.
We're making everybody else guess the.
Everybody else has to get it right.
Have to get
did
it right.
Either of you see Casa de mi Padre?
I did,
yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry, Jamie.
All right, let's go to Brian in Simi Valley. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
All right, are you ready for your movie?
Absolutely.
Tell me what this is.
Yeah, I've been called sex on skates, but I resent that. I'm sex on everything.
All right. What is that movie?
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory is correct.
Indeed. Well done, Brian.
Nicely done. All right. So we have 1, 2, 3. So we have two pairs left. Let's go. Let's go to Robert in Huntington Beach. Hi, Robert.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. You ready for your Will Ferrell clip?
Yes.
Here you go.
Where are you going? Going upstairs. Because I'm going to put my nut on your drum set.
Name of that, please.
That would be Step Brothers. Well done, Robert. Hold on. We're going to give you the details. You're going to the screening.
All right. And let's go to Susan in Rosemary.
Last pair. Susan, don't let us down. We want to give these to you.
Good morning, everybody.
What?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Susan. We're going to play a clip from a Will Ferrell movie. If you identify it, you're going to the screening, and you're going to be in the drawing for the grand prize.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Good luck.
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
That was it. That was the clip.
What?
Oh, I was afraid of that.
You'll say what? We literally can't understand a word you're saying.
I think she said old school.
But...
No. Sorry, Susan. It was Elf. Sorry so much.
She's apologizing to us.
Yes.
That's odd.
I feel bad. You seem lovely. But it sounds like you're calling from a wind tunnel of some kind.
You're wonderful, but I'm sorry we can't give you the tickets. Yeah. But thanks for playing Will You Know.
Will You Know?
Will You Know?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:24. Ellen McKay has a plastic bag of change. Why? I don't know.
Because there's a machine that has Diet Dr. Pepper.
Right.
And nobody has Diet Dr. Pepper, so it's exciting. So
but you have a bag of change.
Yep.
That's odd. All right.
Whatever.
We have a weird thing going on here, and I'm sure you've heard it happen with the Super Bowl, and that is we get emails from lawyers about trademark, and we can't say Super Bowl party when we're promoting something. So we say big game party.
Right.
We have to use alternative words because only the companies that sponsor, in that case, the Super Bowl, can say Super Bowl. In this case, it's the Final Four, which we're not allowed to say. No. I got an email with a bunch of things that we're not allowed to say. Now, we can say it when we're talking about it. We can say it when we talked to RJ Bell this morning and we had that conversation. But we couldn't say it yesterday to promote it.
Yeah, coming up tomorrow.
Can't do that. No can do.
Okay.
Can't say NCAA. Can't say March Madness. And there's a long list of things that we cannot say when promoting the show.
So we're going to need some alternatives.
Right. So we have a CBS trademark lawyer on the line. His name is Carl Burkett. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Always a challenge speaking with you, Kevin and Bean.
Well, this is, I mean, we can't, so we can't say NCAA.
No, those are the rules. You know the rules, and yet you continue to try to flaunt the rules. You have for years, and we don't appreciate it.
Well, we're not, I mean, we're just getting clarification in this particular conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not selling something that's coming up tomorrow. We're not promoting anything.
Yes, but I've you've gotten awful close to several occasions, and we're getting some complaints from the official broadcasting corporate partners and corporate advertising partners. And if you get us into legal problems, there's going to be hell to pay.
Okay, so what are we supposed to say instead of March Madness?
All right, first of all, you can't say that, okay?
Okay, right, but is there an alternative that is...
Of course there's an alternative. We're not idiots.
Okay.
You can say the month between February and April, lunacy. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the month between February and April, lunacy.
I don't see myself being able to pull that off.
All right, just... April tween.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Nuttiness. You can say nuttiness.
All right.
And I want you saying what you said before.
Okay, what about, we can't.
About the basketball grouping, those people.
March Madness?
No, the letters.
NCAA.
What did I just say?
Don't say it.
You were clarifying that you're
can't say that.
What do I say instead of NCAA?
NICA.
What? I don't think that's
what?
Good.
NICA, please. Please say NICA.
NICA?
Yes.
What is NICA? Oh, that's NCAA.
Oh, God. What did I just say?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to figure that out because that sounded
NICA,
bad.
NICA, please.
Okay. All right. Final four is also not acceptable.
That's right.
Okay. So what should I say instead of final four?
Ultimate quartet. Ultimate quartet.
I liked when you beeped yourself.
That was
pretty
good.
Love it.
I got someone else on the beeper here. It's just not my job. Everyone's got a job to do.
Can't say Elite Eight.
Oh, come on!
But I'm saying, I'm just clarifying what we can and can't say.
A special octuplet.
Okay.
And you can't say actual team names or nicknames,
no,
correct?
No, of course not.
Okay, so I can't say Kentucky is great?
What's wrong with you?
I'm asking for clarification.
You
I can't
say the fried chicken place.
I can't say
the number one. The number one ranked team is the fried chicken place Looney Kittens.
Wild.
So because I can't say wild.
Hey, crazy felines. The fried chicken place crazy felines.
No one talks like that.
I do.
Why did you beep that?
Because you're making me angry.
All right. The Big Dance.
Ow!
Is
come
also
on.
Oof.
You can't say that.
What are we supposed to say instead of Big Dance?
The Huge Rumba.
No one will understand that.
The Ginormous Waltz.
Midnight Madness.
Oh, please. What are
we
you?
We can't say Midnight Madness.
No.
All right. What do we say instead of that?
12 o'clock wackiness.
No one will know.
Be creative, for God's sake.
No one will know what we're talking about. We can't say, and then there were four.
No. Then there was one less than five.
See, that's math involved, and Kevin, I don't like any of this.
Regarding the names, you can't say the Kansas team.
Right.
So from now on.
The Jayhawks?
Oh!
I mean.
Jesus.
What?
Say the letter after I, Birds of Prey.
That's a lot of words.
That's just
extra words.
No one will have any idea what we're talking
about.
The
Notre Dame team should be known as the Drunken Mix.
That seems racist.
Isn't that a little more offensive?
The Irish don't sue. They're idiots.
Okay. We'll make a note of that.
And now, a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that...
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said... Who's Frank?
Did I
yes,
really?
Yes. I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking
Frank.
About Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie.
Man.
It happened.
How quickly they forget, huh?
Not only did it happen, she had no idea it happened.
None.
Nope.
None. So many Babylon people saying, well, actually, you're right.
Yeah,
because
I was
back
called
in the
Frank
day,
for a long time on that show.
See, I'm just a huge fan of
that's
Hollywood
what it
Babylon.
Is. Sure. That's what it
yep.
is.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
We're playing Toronto this weekend, by the way.
Are you
with
really?
Babylon, yeah.
Wow.
Sold out a big ass theater in Toronto, Canada. I mean, I come back.
Good times.
Seems like they like me there. Although I heard it's 32 degrees.
Yeah.
So I may be back.
That'll turn you right around.
I may be back. Can I get a little camera action over here? Hi there. How are you? I don't know if, I'm sure if you're familiar with the segment or not, Kevin, but I do showbiz news in this segment, and then in between the stories, I play that sound effect of the paparazzi.
How long have you been doing
it? A couple weeks now.
Okay. I'll get used to it.
This is a great story. You know Michael Phelps, the Olympic champ?
Swimmer?
Yes.
Yep.
He scored gold medals in the Olympics.
Do you score gold medals?
Sure. You can score some gold medals.
Okay.
Like scoring drugs, you know? You get them. You come down with them. Okay. That's what you come back with. I just scored some gold medals. From gold medals to golden showers, according to one professional dominatrix who's telling her story. Her name is Kim Petro, and she tells the National Enquirer that she spent an evening with the 29-year-old Olympic star in a very special, intimate way.
Isn't part of the whole deal of that world is that you keep secret?
This is what I'm saying!
I mean, aren't you supposed to keep that to yourself?
Yeah.
Kim, who is a professional dominatrix, I would question that. Professional, by the way. Put that in quotes. Because I think a professional dominatrix would keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
Especially in this instance.
To keep all of her orifices shut.
Yeah.
She claims that she was paid a $900 donation by Phelps for their evening together in a Manhattan luxury hotel in February of 2013.
Yes.
He said, drink a lot of water before you get to the hotel. I knew what I was in for, she says in the article. Well, he does spend a lot of time in the water.
Did he say?
He likes water sports.
He does.
That much we know about Mr. Phelps. Time with me is well spent, she said. Nothing shocks me. Don't be shy regarding her profession. National Enquirer says she has passed a polygraph test to substantiate her wild and wacky claims.
I feel like that's something that if you're into, you know, okay, I don't need to hear about it.
I'm the same way. You know me. I'm anything goes. But I think it's bad form for her to be talking about it.
I'm not going to her in the future. I know that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to stop going to her.
Get my pegging somewhere else. That's all I'm telling you. I don't need her anymore. I am not a fan. Speaking of dildos, Fred Durst is in the news.
Wow.
AP, the best. The best. When it comes to news, AP is the pinnacle, is the cream of the crop.
They're usually pretty solid.
They are the best. They get their facts straight. So imagine everyone's surprise when they did a story about accused murderer Robert Durst, talking about his arrest, and printed the following. Trooper Melissa Mady told the Associated Press that an arrest warrant has been issued for the former Limp Bizkit frontman, and he was rebooked in the New Orleans Parish Jail on Monday under two new charges. Yes, AP thought real estate billionaire Robert Durst was a member of the band Limp Bizkit. Of course, that would be Fred Durst.
Yay!
The kids love Fred.
Who has murdered no one except for my love of music.
That's a little shocking.
It is, yeah.
That's a mistake I would make. You don't want to be a professional organization and make
that
a mistake that I would make.
That's writer syndrome right there. They printed a correction, but in the correction they said...
That wasn't me.
In
Come
the
on,
correction
Chip.
They said Fred Durst is, of course, the former frontman for Limp Bizkit, which many Limp Bizkit fans took umbrage to because Limp Bizkit is still together.
Yeah.
And he's not the former frontman. He's still the frontman for Limp Bizkit. Oh, not many fans.
Yeah.
The one fan
couple
was upset. Couple.
Guy sent me a picture of seeing them this past Saturday.
The Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the Forum.
It's real sad.
However, AP did say, despite their mistakes, Robert Durst also did it all for the nookie.
So, I don't think they...
So it all worked out.
Pretty sure they didn't say that.
So I could see why they could get
confused.
They
are not funny that way.
The nookie. And you can take a cookie.
Those are the lyrics.
Yes. And if you're dating Michael Phelps, you do something else with the cookie. Azalea Banks. She's feuding with Iggy Azalea. It's a battle of the azaleas.
I like it.
She told Playboy magazine that she gave up tweeting for Lent. All right, she already broke that vow. But it was a positive tweet about how she liked the Saturday Night Live spoof about her feud with Iggy Azalea. Azalea Banks is the cover story of the new issue of Playboy, and she says she wants to leave the United States because of racism. I hate everything about this country, said Azalea Banks, especially racism. I hate fat white Americans. Well, I'm glad you hate racism, Azalea, as you lump all the fat white Americans together.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on! Race war!
It's not a race
war.
Race war's
on, everybody!
It's just a news story.
It's going down!
It's just...
Come on! Race war!
It's not a race war. She also hates all the people who are crunched into the middle of America, she says.
Wow.
So...
She needs to go.
She needs to go.
That's fine.
There must be a country somewhere that would welcome Azalea Banks.
We won't miss her.
For the record, I hate fat white Americans, too. I'm very self-loathing for some reason. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vanessa Williams is 52 years old today. Queen Latifah celebrates her 45th birthday. Dane Cook is 43. Adam Levine turns 36. And actress Lily Collins. Did you see her as Snow White?
I did not.
Oh, she was just charming and adorable, and that could not have been sweeter. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to continue giving you passes to the premiere of Get Hard, Will Ferrell's new movie. We also have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow, and we'll talk sports with Jim Rome tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.